And then a Levite comes by, and the Levite is even more knowledgeable. And he does stop, look, but then he keeps on. And then and then who comes by is a Samaritan. And who is a Samaritan? A Samaritan is a person who is part Jew and part something else. And they didn't get along with the Jews at all. And if we wanted to use an analogy for today, we could say a Muslim came along. A Muslim came along, saw this Jew laying along the road, and what did he do? He took his time, cleaned him up, put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, stayed with him all day and all night, and then he said, told the innkeeper, if you will, if it costs any more to get this guy up and going, next time by, I'll stop and pay you. And so I thought that was very good. I've met a lot with the elders about why are we doing this? And so to me, it always goes back to there's a part of this that's love God with all your heart, and there's a part of it about loving your neighbor. And so how could we best most effectively do that, and why do we want to do this? So one of the things that we went over was our conscience. And one of the things that we talked about, there's a lot of things to do out there. I mean, and one of the things I want to say is anything that we do in Ghana is not meant to say this is the only thing to do, or that somebody should be. It is not in any way, shape, or form to overshadow anything else. It's meant to encourage, not discourage. I mean, a little bit like our work at Golden Living. I mean, why can't we do more Golden Livings? Well, there's 150 people, and there's 200 people in this congregation. There's only so much we can do. But we've chosen Golden Living as a group to help them, and that's a good work. It's not to say somebody else can't do anything else, or not to say we can't go to another nursing home. It's just that we're helping these people by virtue of whatever decision, you know, we as a congregation made to really help the people at Golden Living. And it's a little bit the same way with Ghana. But one of the things that we talked about a lot was doing versus paying. And I think the elders agreed that whatever we do had to reflect upon us taking an active part in it. As you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of things, and it's very easy for us to just write a check to somebody and say, okay, you know, we've given $4,000 this year, $5,000, $2,500, and we've helped that cause. But we haven't done anything really actively. So one of the things that was we were not going to get involved in just a program to pay. And we were approached after we got we were doing some research, and we were approached by some groups. You know, we're already doing this. We're already set up. Why don't you all just give us $5,000 a year? And then you all don't have to worry about it. But is that the example that we want to set? Is that the example? Is that the tradition of this church? And I would say, and I think the elders would say, and I think all of you would say, that is not the tradition of this church. The tradition of this church is that we do. We want to have programs where we take an active part in. And so that was a big item about trying to find something where we could be functional, where we could take a part, and where we could actually help other people, where we can encourage other people, where we can be a leader in doing something, and try to encourage all of you all to get involved with it. So this is not to be exclusionary in any way. It's meant to give an example of us doing and in encouraging others to do. And I think that's what Christ wants us to do. So that was that was a big part of it. So then, why Ghana? why did we want to go to Ghana? We haven't established, and it's very easy for me to say, talk about Bob Williams or Beth Williams, but I have to understand, and I want to take a few minutes going back on this. A lot of people in this congregation don't know Bob Williams, and they don't know Beth Williams. And Bob was a longtime member here, a longtime elder here, and he had a connection. There was a guy named Jerry Reynolds, and Jerry Reynolds had a and I know people don't know Bill Garrett and Dave Garrett, but Bill and Dave are previous members here, who helped to start Bible Bowl. Their father was very instrumental in Camp Minnetonka, and Jerry Reynolds was tied into Camp Minnetonka, and then Jerry really was responsible for building the first church. He was not responsible for establishing the first church. He was establishing for building the first church building in Ghana, which we have a picture of. The picture down the bottom here, that's the first church building ever built in Ghana. It was built in 1962. And since then, it's been phenomenal what's happened in Ghana. But Bob got Jerry Reynolds got Bob involved, and then Bob and Beth eventually, while they were here, went to Ghana, and they were in Ghana for 3 years as missionaries, and I have to say that while Bob and Beth were there, I told myself I wasn't going to do this, but they truly implemented Luke 10:26. And forward. They truly did that. They went and they taught. They loved God with all their heart and all their soul. But they also loved their neighbor. And they spent a lot of time trying to improve the social conditions at the same time for the Christians that were there. And he was involved in a lot of stuff like drip irrigation, which you all probably don't know much about, but it's storing water during the wet season, so you have water in the dry season, and then using that to drip water onto a garden, a very active well drilling program. People in Ghana have not had access to good water, and it's really a problem. It has been a phenomenal problem over there. It because you're drinking all of the bad things that's in the surface water, and you get a lot of diseases. And so there has been over the last 30 years a tremendous effort for well drilling in Ghana, and most villages now have a well. So Bob was involved with that, and then Beth was a nurse, and she was involved with cleanliness and sanitary issues, and in both of them worked in the in the health center there in Kumasi, and then Bob taught at the Bible College. So we have a long relationship there. We have a lot of friends there. We have a lot of people who have been to this congregation from Kumasi. So we have a long established relationship with them there, and then with the Ghana Bible, with the church there, came establishment of the Ghana Bible College, and nearly every preacher that now exists in Ghana, which there's several thousand, all of them in some way, shape, or form, have their roots at the Ghana Bible College, and they have, since they've trained all these preachers, we have contacts. Throughout all of Ghana, in every region in Ghana, we have contacts. So it made a lot of sense, we thought, to try to continue that. And Bob had wanted me to do this Well, he wanted someone to do it prior to his passing, and I got involved. But then I had some health problems, which kind of put that on hold. But seems like I've gotten better. So we decided a couple years ago to try to see if I could become involved again, and maybe carry on some of the work that Bob had done. But everybody's their own individual, and I'm most certainly not Bob Williams, and I'm not going to try to say I am. Bob was a great guy. But, you know, I had to kind of do it my way, you know, with my own skill set. Not that I didn't want to do it his way. His skill set and my skill set, his personality and my personality were different. So I had to try to find something that fit my skill set. And so I went over 2 years ago. Ivan Martin and I went over. And I spent a week there, did some research, and then came back. And this is the program that we came up with. And one of the things that we wanted to look at is meeting a social need of the Christians there, and in doing something that could be cost effective. I mean, you know, it's if you have enough money, you can do anything. And that was also, we talked to the elders about here versus Ghana. And there's most certainly need here in the United States. And to suggest there's not would be not true. There's a lot of need here in the United States. But a lot of the need we felt, if you want to try to do something, goes beyond what the capabilities of this church could maybe provide. And there, $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 goes a lot further than here. If you want to get involved in a major project here, you're talking about at a minimum hundreds and hundreds of thousand dollars at a minimum. So the whole cost structure between here and Ghana is a lot different. So we raised $5,000, and then we think this $500,000 can directly affect 300 people, and probably indirectly help 900 people. So, and the basis of the program is that one of the things they don't have over there. It'll take a long time to go into Ghana, what's going on socially, but I think the first page of the paper is fairly accurate. I mean, there are no jobs, and there's no capital, not out in rural Ghana. In Kumasi, in Accra, there's some, but it's under a very, very egregious terms. And one of the things, and I'll say this about, you know, when people kind of downplay America, you know, they don't know what they're saying. They don't know how fortunate we are. And one of the things that we did when we formed this country was we took the English rule of law, and the English rule of law as it relates to real estate. So we can get a piece of real estate in this country, and then you get that real estate, you can build equity in the real estate, and then you can use it for other things, which I use the equity in my in my home to help fund my kids' college, and I'm sure you all did too. I used part of that to help fund me creating a business when I didn't have a job. So they don't have that there. The chiefs of the tribes own the real estate, and they don't give it to the villagers. So you have no way in Ghana to get any equity, and then you live out in the bush. You have no way to get a job. So the only way you live is by leasing land from the chief to have a garden on, and that garden provides enough fruits and vegetables for you to live on, and then you try to raise enough that you can go to the market and sell part of it to raise enough money for your everyday living. And and that's how they live. And so if the family structure there is much stronger than it is here. I mean, there are no, I won't say none, but there's very few orphans there. If you have a brother and he dies, or his, then you are responsible for his wife and children. And so you have these large extended families. And then what do you do with them? How do these people get food? How do they get any money to survive? And there's a lot of burden placed on the head of the household. And so one of the things, we didn't invent this, but some of the congregations, just out of need, has created what they would call their own credit unions, where they kind of loan each other internally funds for primarily either the orphans or the widows within that family structure, so they can do something. And the church in Kumasi has had a program like this for several years, and it involves job training, and it involves kind of in what I'd call business accountability. Since they've never had a culture of loaning money, that they don't understand the whole culture of repayment of money and why it's important to repay money. So what we've tried to do is introduce this concept into the rural villages, where the church will, and the elders within the local village will recommend these people, and then we'll do some job training, some business accountability, and try to loan them $20 or $25 or $30 that they can, you know, they can buy some yams, they can buy some cassava, they can buy plantains, try to turn them into something, sell them in the market, and then repay that money. And it teaches them financial responsibility, but it also gives them access to capital to do something. And that's what we've tried to do. And we're working with the Ghana Bible College. We're working with the Kumasi Church. And we'll see how it goes. But the church in Kumasi has had a really, really phenomenal rate of repayment on their loans. They've only had a default rate of between 10 and 15%. And most of the time when something defaults, it's not necessarily the fault of the person who borrowed it. Sometimes there's things that just happen, as you guys know, or everybody knows, that there's things that happen in life, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. But I'm very excited about it, and I've been given tremendous support here, and we should look at it as a team effort. I'm just kind of glad that I've been given the opportunity to implement this by all of y'all. We've gone through some slides here. The slide right here, there is no mechanization in the villages, and it's really interesting how some parts of technology have caught up and how other parts of technology has left them behind. And one of the things is the computer. You know, they have computers and they have electricity and they have computers, but yet 95% of all farming is done the way this gentleman's doing it right here. It's done by hand. They don't have rototillers. They don't have tractors. It's all done by hand. And so, you know, the maximum amount of farm you can have is the max amount of ground that you can hoe. So how much ground can you hoe? That limits the size of these farms. But they do have some guys that will team together, two or three guys, you know, 3 or 4 acres. These guys were preparing to plant ginger. And I think back a while back, you saw some, and that was cabbage. They were preparing cabbage. We went to cabbage, ginger. Oh yeah, and the third one was a pottery. Have we passed the pottery yet? And this is a typical village. This is the village where we went visited for the cabbage. But this was really pretty far out. We were about maybe 40 or 50 miles from Kumasi. And I was surprised at the hills, but it was very hilly here in this village. Did we go and show them the church yet? Let's back up a minute if we can. No, I mean the church in, we hadn't gotten there yet. Okay, let's keep moving. This was in the same village that you just saw, and we came and met with them, and the only thing they have is, you know, they wanted to give us a little gift, so they gave us a stem of plantains, which we graciously accepted and went home and ate. That's it. So that's where we are, and I appreciate everything that everyone's done, and the goal is to go back once a year, and do a take on what's going on in our success, and try to continue to raise some funds, and see if it works. I think it'll work. I do. I think it'll work. I met with the elders at the Church of Bomb Soul, and I have to tell you, I was very impressed with them. They're very well grounded. I will also say they're very well aware of what's going on in the United States. nearly every one of them has relatives that are here or were educated here. One of the elders at the church there, he went to undergrad at Freed Hardeman, and then he got a master's from Abilene. Then he worked as an accountant for 2 years here in the United States, and then he went back to Ghana. So Gabriel Opong's daughter lives here in America. Gabriel's wife was here in America while I was over there. So they know America very well, and they know what's going on. And I'll tell you, it scares them to death, because they don't want many of the afflictions that's being put on us socially. And you know, it used to be that they really welcomed us, and they still do welcome us. But on the other hand, they really don't want many of the evolutions that's going on here, both within the church and in our culture and society. But I have to say, I was very impressed with the elders. Very good group of guys there, and very well grounded in the Word, and take their job very seriously. If anybody would, I'd like to put forth an invitation, team time. If anybody want to come forward, we'd be happy. I think there'll be some elders out in the auditorium. So with that, I'll conclude.